Welcome to another edition of Building Tech Talk. We are joined by Amy Raisler. Did I say that right? Amy, got it. All right. So Amy is the executive director of the Alberta Energy Efficiency Alliance. And so we're really excited to have a chance to have a talk with you about some of the advances that are coming up in building technology around energy efficiency. And as always, we're joined with our resident experts. We have Scott Jenkins, CEO of ZS2 Technologies, and Dr. Doug Brown, the CTO of ZS2 Technologies. And gentlemen, I just want to start with you guys. You guys are really excited about this conversation. Why?
Yeah, absolutely. I was checking out your website and all the things that we're doing around renewable energies and the integration into larger systems. Part of my PhD work was in that space. So I think it's fantastic. And the efforts that you're doing, I'm really excited to hear a little bit more about it all. So really looking forward to today's episode.
And well, from my perspective, I've known Amy for far too long. We were just off camera remembering how long we've known each other. So I'm not going to say it on the podcast, how long we've known each other, how many years. It's been a lot, both through school and then also through our careers. What I'm super excited to talk about today is just some of your experience with some of the companies you've worked with. So tying in a lot of stuff we talk about on Building Tech Talk, but how does that have commercial applications? What are trends companies are seeing? And then also kind of tying that in a little bit, because you lived for a long time and worked for a lot of organizations in British Columbia and now in Alberta when you moved back here 5 years ago with your family. And then I'm hoping that Doug and Amy don't quickly get into a discussion that's way over my head. But I think that's likely, Matt.
You'll be in good company because it'll be over my head as well.
Excellent.
And so we'll just sit here with blank stares and let you guys go. But just to start off, just so we can lay a bit of a foundation, what is the Alberta Energy Efficiency Alliance? Where did you guys come from?
Yeah, the Alberta Energy Efficiency Alliance has been running as a nonprofit member-based society in the province since 2007, and is focused on advancing policy awareness, convening stakeholders, companies like yourselves, utilities, municipalities, engineering services firms around the energy efficiency industry and some of the policy and knowledge gaps in Alberta.
Knowledge gaps. What are the knowledge gaps?
I think it ties back to some of the introductory questions that you sent, actually. So, you know, energy efficiency sounds like a great thing to do. Sure, let's do it. There are some pretty substantial economic benefits to energy efficiency, but there are also some pretty substantial policy and regulatory barriers that prevent Alberta from accessing some incredible job creation and economic and environmental benefits.
So, you know, we think about what we're doing with ZS2 and some of the other companies we partner with. You know, one thing that we hear more and more is that there's these companies that are trying to innovate, but they're coming across some of these barriers as they try to push new material science. So Doug's background. Do you see that, you know, whether it's our current provincial government or the bureaucracy, do you see them being open given the, you know, the unfortunate economic climate we're in right now, being open to new and innovative things?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think the current government differs from the previous government in their approach. Current government is really keen to foster new technologies. But one of the challenges with new technologies, and this won't be earth-shattering news to anyone, is that hurdle to commercialization. So that's where my experience in British Columbia helps, because if you look at energy efficiency opportunities from a province-wide perspective, there are regulatory, like building code, for example, or allowing utilities to recover costs on energy efficiency initiatives. Those kinds of things can really push new technologies forward to broader adoption. And so I think that's the main sort of gap in Alberta, is the broad-based adoption of even sort of well-established commercial technologies.
Yeah. And Doug, you may want to, because, you know, Doug's now on the board of the Alberta chapter for the Canadian Green Building Council. And, you know, some of their comments and what you've passed along to me seems to echo what Amy said.
Yeah. I mean, being a recent homeowner, Do you see policies changing in the shift for sort of micro energy generation for maybe the housing market? Is there any sort of policy-wide discussions on, like, if I put solar on my roof, can I sell back to the grid? Is there going to be something like that? Or I know there's sort of new technologies being adopted to where, you know, cogen and things like that, where it's sort of on a home level versus, you know, being a utility company, being the only one that produces energy. Is there a lot of discussions in your experience around sort of the integration of these sort of micro generation?
There have been, not quite at the individual home level, but certainly at the community level. So relatively recently, within the last 4 years, the micro generation regulation was revised to include generation opportunities down to 1 megawatt. Previously, it was 5 megawatts. So that opened up a certain community segment for those generation opportunities. Yeah.
Just going back to the hurdles perspective, you were talking about economic benefits of energy efficiency. We look a lot at energy efficiency from saving, like don't turn on your electricity if you don't need to, you know, can we cut back? Where are the growth opportunities for the economy, especially right now where we're facing some pretty significant challenges in the economy? Are there opportunities in energy efficiency that you guys are seeing that companies, whether it's new technology or companies themselves, can be embracing in order to get ahead right now with what you guys are working on?
Under the previous government, a lot of the opportunities were around some of the broad-based deployment, so that broad adoption. So, you know, you saw Energy Efficiency Alberta providing incentives for custom building retrofits kind of thing. Under the current government, the opportunities that I'm seeing emerge are more so around fostering development of new technologies. So Western Economic Development federally is looking at providing job creating incentives in certain areas. And then along with that, Alberta Innovates often partners with WED and works with organizations to foster company development. So I'm seeing some of those more economic stimulus style opportunities starting to emerge. And I think we'll see more of that over the next 3 or 4 months as well.
Okay. Is there any advice for companies that are looking, like they see the opportunity in becoming more efficient or maybe have an idea that could help others? It's a little bit daunting. You just threw out a lot of different organizations that are working on this. There's a lot of different grants. There's a lot of different programs. How does one go about navigating all this?
I think right now in particular, because it is a time of transition. So, you know, we're waiting for the federal speech from the throne. And, you know, I'm hearing about potential or even likely economic stimulus from the provincial or federal levels. But we're in this in-between phase right now where we think we see some things coming, but we don't know what they are quite yet. And understandably so, you know, we're sort of navigating this new world, and attention has been elsewhere for a little while. So,
well, I was going to add real quick to that, you know, for us with Zetus Tube, but even in our previous companies, it is a big challenge for the companies to know who they should be speaking with to make the economic case for support and how that can have further implications, positive implications for the economy and localized economy. You know, we're a growing Alberta-based company at a time of great economic uncertainty and, you know, the different levels of government. It's challenging for us to know who we should be speaking with. So we end up spending a lot of time speaking to anybody that will, you know, will listen to the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, in our advocacy efforts, we do something similar. We try to access, you know, Alberta Environment and Parks, Alberta Energy. We work with a federal organization as well, Efficiency Canada, to speak to some of our federal representatives, and they do listen, and they, particularly in Alberta, I think there's a lot of value in individual companies who have those direct job creation opportunities to reach out. Yeah.
I have a question kind of relating to some pre-pandemic rumors I'd heard about the sort of the decarbonization strategy of our electricity generation in the province, because as I understand it, it's largely based on coal. Has your organization been exposed to any of the sort of strategies to shift away from these more conventional, you know, energy generations towards sort of a more sustainable?
I think we're already seeing some of that. And we have seen, you know, some new large wind and solar projects come online or sort of go through the process and be approved to move forward. Then the other thing about coming off of coal and where I get passionate and excited is, you know, the energy savings opportunity to sort of avoid the additional cost of a new natural gas power plant or, you know, all of the transmission and distribution lines that we see all around the province. There's a big opportunity to mitigate those costs, either delay or avoid some of those costs. And so, there's a reason why British Columbia has some of the lowest utility rates when you include transmission and distribution in North America. They've been doing energy efficiency and conservation for 3 decades, and they understand that value. And then the opportunity for Alberta as well is, of course, around the emissions reduction with that. So, you know, even at an individual building level, some low and no cost measures can deliver 5 to 15% cost savings, which, you know, in the winter for a big facility can be quite material.
Yeah. Yeah. That's substantial.
And, you know, from a business perspective, the opportunity to bring down our utility rates, that's beneficial to all businesses, to the economy. But if you take it a step further, we were on a call late last week with some partners of ours in California. And they were talking to us about these rolling brownouts, you know, and this is, you know, prior to the tragic fires and everything that that state is facing right now, but that this is getting worse every year and they just don't have the energy or the electricity generation capacity that they need during peak time. So they've put, you know, as a single homeowner goes above a certain energy usage each month, then their rates triple and quadruple. So they get penalized. So it's a big challenge. So can they even provide energy, the energy that's needed for their economy going into the future? It's a big challenge.
And that's also where there's a little bit of a counter argument to energy efficiency with some people where they say, or from the sustainable energy point of view, where they're saying, well, yeah, they're using California as a cautionary tale when you move too fast and now they're in this situation. So as far as innovators in Alberta or in Canada in general, where do you see them being able to help this transition without having some of the negative effects that California is seeing, and or even more locally in Ontario, there's been a little bit of their transition has not gone as smoothly as they were hoping as far as the cost to the end user. Do you see anything on the horizon that people are working on that would help this transition and make it more smooth in mm-hmm. Western Canada?
I think I'll think about Alberta specifically. I think that our utility system isn't really set up well to tackle that right now. Right now, we're sitting on cheap natural gas, so we can build as many natural gas power plants as we really want, right? But I think the opportunity may be focusing on where this government's mindset is at already around innovation and technology adoption. And so federally as well, the net zero energy readiness framework is supposed to be rolling out late 2021. And I think that'll be an opportunity for individual organizations to, you know, to both inform what that looks like, communicate with their provincial and municipal governments about the value of it and the job creation aspects of it.
We need some, we're looking for something juicy. Who's got the coolest tech out there right now when it comes to energy efficiency or sustainability? What do you see that's getting you, what gets you excited when you look at the landscape and the innovation landscape? Where do you look and go, that's a great idea? That is something that's really going to change things.
Mm-hmm. I'll give two examples, and I don't come from a technology background, but one being in the oil and gas industry, there are some really interesting methane emission survey and recapture technologies being developed. So that's pretty exciting, potential for huge impact. And then I'll maybe plug what you're looking at, and here I'll struggle with it, but you know what you're talking about. But when we met last week and you talked about the potential for carbon capture, I think that's massive. That's absolutely massive. So when the country wants to be net zero by 2050, and those are exactly the kinds of things that we need to be doing.
That's interesting that you mentioned the methane surveying, because that's kind of a hot topic right now. The province is getting a little bit of pushback, I'd say, sort of globally on under accounting methane leakage. So that's fantastic that, you know, there's some companies coming out that may make the global image, a little bit more friendly.
So for those of us that aren't looped in on methane leakage, what is methane leakage?
Yeah, well, CO2 is kind of the hot topic when we talk about global warming and, you know, gases that contribute to it. But methane is actually a worse gas than CO2 as far as heat containment. So it's kind of reaching mainstream media a little bit as something we should monitor. And that's partly the sort of the global movement away from cows is because they generate a lot of methane, obviously, from their natural processes. So I think as we start to really limit CO2, hopefully, maybe methane's one of those next gases that we're starting to target and sort of monitor a little bit more stringently.
And, you know, when we're getting caught up last week, you know, we chatted a little bit about on specifically with CO2. What excites us, especially, you know, our team, is the potential for CO2 reduction from this industry, the cement industry, that contributes, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12%. So we say 10% of the CO2 emissions in the world. I think, Doug, you know, you've educated me so much over the years about that this is the second most consumed material on the planet. Only behind water.
Yeah, fresh water, yeah.
So, but historically, you know, and so it gets me all fired up is there are better alternatives out there that actually have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's just in terms of access and ability to produce those materials. So that gets us excited. But then, you know, if we tie in kind of what we're passionate about and why it fits so well with Amy and her career is we're also really passionate about energy efficiency of buildings. Building structures that we live in, we play in, we heal in, that we can reduce the energy needed for those structures. You know, and that goes back to my California example, Matt, is, you know, what if we could take, you know, all these residences in the most populated state and reduce their energy requirements for air conditioning or heating, depending on the time of year, by a third or more. And those building methodologies do exist. It's just, you know, people need to, and the codes, and it goes back to our conversation, the regulatory framework needs to support that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's opportunity in retrofitting existing buildings, which is is going to be a huge need. But then obviously in new construction as well. And that's where, you know, BC with the STEP code and Alberta, Efficiency Canada just released a report last week kind of showing some of the barriers to net zero energy ready code adoption across the country. And Alberta sort of sits ahead of the middle of the pack in terms of current codes, but some of the barriers and not just specific to Alberta, but some of the barriers are that, you know, the federal government can sort of set the framework, but it's up to the provinces to introduce the legislation, and then it's up to the municipalities to enforce it. So kind of look at this roadmap of, you know, where we need to be by 2030, 2050, and how do we tie, you know, inform and influence and support that, and then how do we tie into it with the opportunities that it'll bring as well.
I was just going to ask, maybe actually, you know, for our, for the perhaps dozens of people that are going to see this podcast, I'm hopeful for viewership growth. Maybe we get to touch on really quick the BC STEP code, because that's something that we've learned a lot about, and we're having some great conversations with, you know, developers, builders, owners, you know, schools, healthcare professionals in British Columbia on the STEP code, and that the other provinces are sort of watching this roll out But maybe you could give us your thoughts on that and maybe mm-hmm. just a little bit of background on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and BC has been on this path for decades as well, like in terms of, and they have, you know, however you may look at it, they have maybe the benefit of having a province-wide electric utility that's a Crown Corp and can sort of be part of informing policy as well as implementing it. You know, they've had a new construction sort of branch of BC Hydro for over a decade. And so, and that new construction branch has looked at other jurisdictions and some of the building codes that are fostering, you know, decreased costs, decreased emissions, more, you know, higher comfort, densification, all of those aspects that are important to sustainability. And so, you know, I'm interested in what you saw and what you think as well, but it takes time, right? It's taken time. They've been on this path for quite a while. Yeah.
I think, you know, from what we've seen with BC Step Code or different but similar path, Title 24 in the state of California and now Oregon, Washington State, sort of going down the same path, is two pieces you've touched on. It is one, we have a tremendous amount of existing structures. So what technologies are out there that we can support in terms of retrofit, energy efficiency? So you know, some improvements there, but then with new build. And new build, I do believe, is where the governments probably were able to implement some recommended changes a little quicker, right? Because it's out of the ground. And that's where we see in terms of new building methodologies, technologies. Doug touched on local power generation. And there's a lot of things that can be done. And what's interesting from what we're seeing is they're now becoming cost effective. And I think that's, from my perspective as, you know, someone, you know, spending 30 years with technology companies, is it still needs to be economically prudent for people to adopt these things. And that is coming because the technologies, the cost of some of these new technologies coming down, and we're seeing the cost, especially with conventional building materials, and the cost of labor, if you can get labor, going up. So if we can match that with better building science, then I think we have a win-win. So it is coming.
And sorry, just to kind of go back to one thing you were mentioning that is sticking in my mind as an opportunity, especially when we're talking about, you know, these new technologies becoming more affordable. We have a lot of infrastructure right now that is outdated, especially in our downtown cores, in our office building, our commercial buildings. How much opportunity is there with, instead of rebuilding and starting from scratch and having a huge investment in a new structure, how much opportunity is there with new technology that you're seeing right now, some of your members in retrofitting, which we're talking about there, and bringing these things into the new mm-hmm. age, really?
And what kind of opportunity are you kind of
just about? Opportunities for businesses to look for ways to take these mm-hmm. these older buildings and give yeah. them new life. Is there opportunity there, or are we better off just bulldozing and starting from scratch?
I'll answer it in two ways, and you might have other questions. I suspect you will, but opportunity in terms of emissions reduction is massive. Looking out to 2038, just commercial and small industrial efficiency opportunities could deliver. I think it's 85 megatons of emissions reductions, lifetime emissions reductions by 2038. And that liability, like that's becoming more and more of a liability, right, for the province and for those businesses. And so I think addressing that and mitigating that is huge. And then the other opportunity that I've been pretty focused on lately is the economic opportunity. So as we get these buildings more efficient and help them save money and help them, you know, with HVAC solutions, help them improve air circulation so that they're more healthy, more comfortable. As we do all of those things, the jobs that are created are substantial as well. So if Alberta takes on energy efficiency in a meaningful way, we could be creating 5,300 jobs and $2.3 billion in annual GDP by 2030. And so, you know, I look at those things and I think, well, why are we not doing it? And I think it comes down to a couple things, like you touched on cost. So how do you push those decisions over the edge, either through, you know, lower costs or building codes or...
Well, one of the things I'll touch on, you know, just what I've seen in Alberta, and we've had some great early discussions with Zetas too, with both elected officials, their teams, both provincially, civic, actually, and at the federal level. There seems to be a recognition, and I believe this in my heart, having grown up in Alberta and lived elsewhere, but coming back here, that the entrepreneurial spirit of our province, our home province, we have a very pro-business government right now that do want to see, you know, job creation. And we're fortunate enough, and Doug, you know, where did you complete, you know, some of your studies, and where have you ended up? We have an excellent academic foundation in terms of the universities, the colleges, and the technical schools. You know, we had a great discussion. I'm going to give them a plug on Friday with Southern Alberta Institute of Technology. It's amazing some of the work they're doing. And their partnership and innovation with companies. It's partnership for commercialization. So just want to say that I think we are fortunate to live in a jurisdiction that wants to take on some of these things.
Amy, could you maybe just speak anecdotally a little bit about how this pandemic has affected sort of the strategy around energy efficiency? Has it put us back? I know... We used to always speak about the Kyoto Agreement and trying to reach those climate goals. And as we know, that's been modified and now we're sort of more around the UN sustainability goals. Do you see climate sort of goals as a time-sensitive issue that maybe we're just not geared to accept from a federal level with, you know, sort of the barriers for innovation in particular spaces? And how that has sort of played out in the fact that we're living through the times we are right now.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of thoughts before I dive into that. I think first I want to say that SAIT is one of our longtime members and has been part of our board for a number of years. So that's exciting that you're working with them. Second, on the coronavirus front, I'll just touch on, you know, individual members of each of our families had tests, so we've confirmed we're okay to sit here and speak like this. I think to your question, and sorry to divert there for a bit, but you know, one of the things that the Alliance has actually just started doing with Alberta EcoTrust is looking at, for example, with working from home, how do those individuals now how do organizations now start to look at what are the economic energy consumption, you know, social benefits and concerns of having the pros and cons, a large portion of your workforce working from home. So one of the things, of course, being, okay, well, I'm not commuting every day in my car. But the other side of it is that as companies start to want to have people back in their offices, who's going to want a carpool now, right? So I think there are going to be those challenges. I was listening to a different podcast this morning, and they were talking about, you know, we're actually not that far off from achieving 2030 goals if we put some of the right levers in place. And so I, you know, in my it's not eternal, but it's definitely optimism. I think there's a way to do both. And that's my hope over the next couple of years, is that some of the policy that's developed, some of the economic stimulus that comes out, some of the support for individuals and companies, that it really starts to hone in on how we also address the sustainability of our businesses and our communities. Yeah.
My sort of large view of what's going on is that the pandemic has kind of created a government level incentive program around pushing this and accelerating this that I don't think would have been so accepted pre-pandemic. You know, the economies were roaring along and it was kind of, oh, we're going to do the, you know, green thing on the side. Whereas now it's given sort of governments an opportunity to be like, okay, we're investing in this space as we emerge from this. So I was keen to hear your opinion on that. Thank you. Yeah.
We're just about at our time limit here, but I just want to close with one thought or get your thoughts on one thing, which is kind of a takeoff of what Doug was saying, where there does seem to be an acceleration behind some of these ideas right now, and certainly an openness to economic growth in whatever form that can come in. If Canada, Alberta, Western Canada is a leader in this space of sustainable technology, do you see a global market for what we produce here, or what we create here?
Absolutely. If I can draw a parallel to some of the technology development that's happened in oil and gas over the last decade or more, a lot of those technologies have been marketed and taken up in other jurisdictions. And it's something that Alberta does exceptionally well. It's such an entrepreneurial province. So I definitely see opportunity there with you were talking about our workforce and just how educated it is, and it is. It's a world leading workforce in terms of its education, and so there's a big opportunity.
That's fantastic. Just to close off, Alberta Energy Efficiency Alliance. If anybody wants to get involved, how do they do that?
www.aeea.ca. Sign up for our newsletter.
That's pretty easy.
Become a member. Yeah.
No excuses.
Doing great work.
Easy to do.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Amy, for joining
you.
Us.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. Yeah. And be sure to subscribe to Building Tech Talk on Apple Podcasts or on YouTube or wherever you consume your media. Track us down. Building Tech Talk. Tech Talk is one word. And we'll see you next time.